Let us turn to the book of Romans, chapter 11. Romans, chapter 11, and verse 33, to the end of the chapter. Where we read, O the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Who hath first given to him, and shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Now may the Lord bless his word. Let's pray. Our Father, we praise you for the person of thy dear Son. We thank you that in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And we pray as we consider him, the greatness of his person and the wonder of his words and his works. We ask you to reveal yourself to us in a most unique way, that we may be more conformed to his image. May the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart, we pray, be acceptable in thy sight, for the great name's sake of thy dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning we want to examine together the wisdom of God. What is the wisdom of God? Last Wednesday morning we examined God's omniscience, or the knowledge of God. And from the 139th Psalm we saw that there isn't anything that God doesn't know. God knows all things. Now, we saw that as we applied that truth last week, the very fact that God knows all things brings the child of God genuine comfort. He knows all about us. He understands us. But second, we notice that it strikes terror in the hearts of those who know not God, because God knows all about them, and he will bring everything into judgment. Third, we notice as we apply this truth that God sees all things, and he is the perfect judge, and equity will prevail. And fourth, we saw that as we apply this truth to ourselves, that God truly knows all about us, and he loves us. And it's the proof of the love of God. Now, closely related to the knowledge of God is the subject of the wisdom of God. And Paul in Romans 11 that we read together speaks of the depth of the riches, and the riches both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Now, wisdom and knowledge are related. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. The beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. So I bring you a definition of wisdom this morning. And my definition of wisdom, especially when we think of the wisdom of God, and when we think of wise men that we know, wisdom is the ability or the inclination to choose the best goal and the means of reaching that goal. And God chooses the best goal, and he chooses the best means for reaching that goal. That is wisdom. Now, by that definition, we conclude that God is wise. All his works and all his words declare that God is wise, for all of them are done and spoken in truth. Now, this truth is set forth in the Word of God. But it's not only set forth in Scripture, but it's demonstrated and displayed in three areas. It is demonstrated and displayed, first of all, in creation, second, in God's government of the universe, and third, in the great redemption that is found in Christ Jesus the Lord. Let us consider, first of all, God's wisdom revealed in creation. God designed the world with all its complexities and its perfect order. What kind of a genius does it take to do that? Oh, beloved, oh, the riches both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. The more a person studies creation, when they consider the ecological system, the more one is impressed with the wisdom of the Creator. The 104th Psalm is a celebration of God's creation. And I ask you to turn to Psalm 104, and we shall read a few verses there. The 104th Psalm is one of those great psalms that celebrate God's creative order. I want you to notice verse 11. Verse 11, it says, "They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst." Verse 14, "He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, the herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth." Verse 18, "The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies." Or when we notice these verses, we see that there's a delicate balance in the universe, and the creative order is a testimony to the wisdom of the Creator. Notice verse 25, or verse 24, "O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches, so is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts." Beloved, so great is our God, and so delicate is the order of the universe, and in wisdom, God did it all. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 12. Where we read, "He hath made the earth by his power, he hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion." Truly, we behold in creation, in the creative order, the wisdom of our God. And we can cry out with Paul, "Oh, the depths both of the riches of the, and oh, the depths and the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments." So God's wisdom is not only revealed in creation. God's wisdom is revealed in his government of the universe. God has expressed himself in his law and in his judgments. In Exodus and Numbers, in the Old Testament, the second and fourth books of the Bible, we have God's plan to take care of the poor. The best plan ever designed to take care of the poor is laid out in the book of Exodus and the book of Numbers. God, in that book also, lays out a beautiful plan for the punishment of criminals. His perfect law declares his wisdom. And of course, the judgments of God declare his wisdom. For the punishment always fits the crime. When you take the judgment of God that is manifested in the destruction of the cities of the plain, Sodom and Gomorrah, Adma and Zeboam, when you consider his judgment upon them, the judgment fits the crime. And you find this also in the judgments of God in his actions toward Israel as a nation. When Israel followed Baal during the days of Ahab and Jezebel, when they followed Baal and they wanted to ascribe to Baal the worship that was due to Almighty God because they ascribed to Baal the blessing upon their crops. So what did God do? He sent them a drought. The judgment fitted the crime. Furthermore, when people perverted their bodies through sinful sex, God sent them disease. And for the person who will not repent, but who manifests a genuine hatred of God, he will ultimately live apart from God, apart from the presence of God, forever. Amid the horrors of the lake of fire, known as hell. But God's wisdom is not only displayed in creation, in his law and in his judgments, God's wisdom is displayed in the redemption of sinners. In the passage in Romans 11 that we read this morning, we have the conclusion of the doctrinal section of the book of Romans. And this doctrinal section of Romans is the greatest treatise ever written by anybody declaring the greatness of the salvation and the wonders of the wisdom of God in redemption. Here, Paul declares God's righteous anger against sin. Then he goes on to show how God, in his wisdom, can forgive sin through the redemptive work of Christ, through his death and resurrection. He points out how God sanctifies his people, how he constantly works with them to conform them to the image of Christ. Then he points out in the close of Romans 8 and throughout Romans 9, how he chose a people who would bring honor and glory to him. And then in verse chapters 10 and chapter 11, he shows the position of the Jew and the Gentile in relation to the God of grace, in relation to God's redemptive program. And when he gets to the finish of it, he just cries out in utter desperation, oh, the depths and the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath first given unto him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again, for of him and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Paul rejoices in the wisdom of God. Paul saw in the saving work of God a wisdom that is so deep and so rich, he calls it unfathomable, and he calls it unsearchable. Who can understand the unsearchable riches of Christ? What did he talk about? Here we have a display in the book of Romans of the wisdom of the person of the God-man, Jesus. We see the wisdom of substitutionary atonement. How that our blessed Lord is a substitute for sinners, and how that by the substitutionary work of Christ, he performed a great wedding. Mercy and truth were married over the wisdom of God. Furthermore, he explains the wisdom of preaching and faith, how that through simple faith in the Word of God, a person is justified by God, for to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And then he declares the wisdom in the Holy Spirit's renewing the heart of the believing sinner. So when we examine these three areas, God in his creation, God in his government, and God in his redemption, we behold the infinite wisdom of God. Now, we must do more than think about his wisdom. We need to respond to that wisdom. What is your response to the wisdom of God? Since God is wise, what difference does it really make? How do you respond to the wisdom of God? Now, Paul, in Ephesians chapter 5, as our brother Bruce Dunn mentioned this morning in his message, Paul tells the Ephesian believers to be imitators of God. Be ye therefore imitators of God as dear children. Now, it's quite evident that you can't imitate God in his omnipotence, for he's all-powerful. You can't imitate God in his omnipresence. God is everywhere at the same time. God is spirit. It is true you can't imitate God in his omniscience. He has a knowledge of all things. But we can imitate God in his wisdom. To some extent, of course. A wise man is a man, therefore, who lives consistently with the doctrine of the wisdom of God. How do you get wisdom? James chapter 1 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not. Now what is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability and inclination to make a right choice, the best choice, and the means to meet that goal. The best goal and the means to meet it. And the best goal for any man is the salvation of God that's in Christ Jesus. And there's only one means to meet it. And that is through believing on our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the Word of God says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The man who has all kinds of wisdom in the things of this world and knows not God is a fool. Now, we need to believe God's Word. We need to obey God's law. And we need to trust God's plan. In other words, that means we submit to His revelation. We believe His Word. We submit to His precepts. We obey His law. And we submit to His providence. We enjoy the salvation of God. In other words, this is a proper response of any man to the revealed wisdom of God. So that brings us to three applications this morning. We want to apply this truth to ourselves. It's one thing to be able to read all the depths and the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable and how unfathomable are the ways and the means of God. But it's another thing to apply that truth to our own lives. So application number one is very simple. Because God is wise, you should believe His Word. That's quite simple, isn't it? Well, let's see. Let's see how simple it really is. Because God is wise, you should believe His Word. In other words, what we're saying is this, God knows what He's talking about. Because God understands all things. Now, the word philosopher means a lover of wisdom. And every believer should be a lover of wisdom. Now, you can't be a lover of wisdom without being interested in what God has to say. All the depths and the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Now we believe that God is wise, don't we? Now what He has to say is very important. His wisdom is a good thing to love and to seek. Now some people seek the wisdom of God in unbiblical religion. Some seek it in astrology. Some seek it in psychology. Some seek wisdom on the TV. Some seek wisdom in certain magazines. But where do you seek wisdom? Where do you really seek wisdom? Who is your wise man? Well, you might say the news media, Phil Donahue or some talk show host, Parade Magazine, E.F. Hutton. Where do you seek wisdom? Psalm number one says, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is a man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't be impressed by the person who has letters in front of his name or in behind his name. And I respect people who have earned degrees. But the Bible truly says that wisdom comes from God. Now we all believe that as Christians, that God is wise. Are we agreed on that? Are we agreed that God is wise? Yes, we all shake our heads yes. Now I have a question. Do you follow the advice of God on child rearing? No, no, we've come way beyond God today. Oh, no, we don't believe what God has to say about child-rearing. You see, on this subject, as in many others, people have become much wiser than God. Haven't we? We believe dear Abby more than we believe God. Or dear Ann. Or somebody else. Or Dr. Somebody. Maybe it's Rush Limbaugh. You see, Proverbs chapter 29 verse 15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom. Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Now we believe that God is wise, so we follow his instruction. Furthermore, do you believe God on the issues of finances? What God says in his word concerning money. Our Lord Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, and thieves do not break through and steal. What is moth and rust? What a moth corrupt? Garments. What is rust corrupt? Tools. Our work. What do thieves corrupt take? They take our finances. Do we believe God concerning finances? Do we take his word for what he has to say? Do we believe God on the issues of sexuality? Do we believe what God says concerning sex? Do we believe that God knows what is right and what is wrong? One partner for life? Let me ask you a question. Why do our larger denominations need a committee of preachers to determine which way the church should go concerning homosexuals? Or concerning women elders? Is God wise? Do we believe his wisdom? How about a modern preacher who's become wiser than God? In matters of right and wrong, do we believe God? Since God is wise, let me ask you a couple questions. Do you believe everything you read in the newspaper? I don't. I see George is shaking his head. He doesn't either. Now look, let me ask you a question. Do you believe everything that you read in the Word of God? I see heads going this way. Let me ask you, which one do you spend the most time with? Which one do you spend the most time with? Which one do you believe the most when it comes to matters of right and wrong? We're dealing with the wisdom of God. I'd like you to turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. In the second chapter of Daniel, God gives Daniel the ability to know what the king dreamed and also to interpret what it meant. And when God revealed to Daniel what Daniel prayed for, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, something all the wise men of Babylon didn't have. None of the wise men of Babylon could tell the king what he dreamed, and he couldn't tell the king the interpretation of it. But God revealed it to Daniel. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to choose the best goal and the best means to meet that goal. Daniel had wisdom, and what does he do? I want to read just verse 20. He worships God. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and the secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O God, of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. He recognized the source of true wisdom. First of all, he recognized that wisdom comes from God. You see, furthermore, he recognized that it didn't come from Dear Rabbi or from any other so-called great person. It came from God. And friends, if you're looking for wisdom in any other source, you've missed the real thing. But we have a problem, don't we? What is our problem? God's word doesn't always agree with me. That's our real problem. And this is where faith in God comes into play. Here's where I simply must believe God. We recognize that God is wiser than we are, and we trust him. What does Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 say? Now, we all know those verses. We quote them. They're famous verses that young people quote when they go to a Christian college and come home and have to give a testimony. I've heard it often. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Trust in the Lord. Lean not on thine own understanding. Now, I quoted Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Verses we all know. Who knows the next verse? Verse 7 of Proverbs 3. It says, be not wise in your own eyes. Be not wise in your own eyes. In other words, God is wise, and I am not. And that is the first step in gaining wisdom. To realize we don't have it, and he does. And if we ask, he'll give it. This is having a childlike attitude toward our Heavenly Father. A child may not understand the parents, but they obey the parents because they know that the parents are wise. They have lived a lot longer than they have. They understand a lot of the facets of life because they've lived far more summers and far more winters and have gone through many more experiences. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, then comes dishonor, but with the humble is wisdom. In other words, when a person submits to the wisdom of God, there will be, with humility, the wisdom will come. The humble submit to the word of God. Because God is wise, we should believe his word. Application number 2. Because God is wise, we should obey his laws. God knows what is best for us.